to Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of Valerie, her guests, and callers. Now here's your host, Valerie Kirkgaard.
This is for you, this is for you and me, and who we see when we see each other. This is for all, this is for all the time you tried to find your sister or your brother. And you're not crazy anymore, you've been waiting at the door.
Here we are. It's May 14th. It's an absolutely gorgeous day here in Topanga Canyon, California. it seems that I'm in the wrong month, but I'm hopping right over here to April. Hopped right over April Fool's Day, and I've gotten to May now. we've gotten to April. Hey, thank you. Can we start this radio program over again, please?
The 14th, no do-overs.
Pardon?
No do-overs. We get to go from here.
Oh, we do? You know, we're just going to have to tough it out and do life just the way we started it today? I guess
that's
so.
That's it.
And maybe this is the universe giving us a wonderful little subtle indication here, because as American state nationals, we have more information than most of the population has, and we're also in a process of going against a very ingrained system. And in the green room today, I was talking with Ron, our research director, and boy, does that guy work for us, and Randy, and we were talking with Mike, and people call me almost every day because I'm in my 12th year of I'm not leaving the house conversation, and I'm in two different courts right now. I'm in federal and state court. I'm not going to name the names of the banks or anything like that. I don't want them to sue me for slander. They're doing a good enough job themselves with that. But yesterday, as I was putting things together in my home, I started just listening. You know, the radio was going in the background, and I heard the saying, Randy, did you pull up Evicted?
I did. I've been reading some of the feedback on it, on the reviews, incredible reviews, really incredible.
Tell them what you're reading, because then I'll fill in what I heard yesterday that just shocked me to the core. Not that I didn't know the issues that were being addressed when I was listening to this author being interviewed on the radio. It just resonated that every one of our paths is so different. It's a different journey, but there's similarities of things that are happening, you know, across the board, across the nation, in some degrees better or worse than others. And one of them is eviction, and this gentleman, his name is Matthew Desmond. Is that correct, Randy?
I don't have his name in front of me, but I do have kind of a breakdown. You know, it's like you said, it's a story of, you know, eight families in Milwaukee, six families struggling to pay their rents, and two sets of landlords. It's a phenomenal book. Go ahead.
Okay, well, what the nerve that it struck in me, Milwaukee, one family in eight is being evicted. That's an incredible number.
It is. In Florida.
I've mentioned this on here before. What I get is little bits of the pieces, and then all of a sudden the thing just slaps me in the face. And yesterday I got slapped in the face with the pieces coming together and the manipulation and the poverty that was happening all over America. And you know how fond I am of the banks. Well, I'm laying this one at the feet of the banks. I'm totally laying it against them. They may not be able to own property, but they sure are renting it. They're doing all kinds of stuff in it after they evict people. Our Superior Court in Santa Monica is actually, if you looked at eviction courts, it's probably in one area. If you said anything good about eviction courts, and I really can't find it at the moment, in this one particular area, they don't put it on your record, Randy, if you're evicted, which is just awful when people get evictions on their notices, because first of all, the most of the people who are getting evicted, their rent is 70% of their income.
I don't know how people would survive that way. I don't understand that. They're not surviving. That's the point of the book.
Yeah, that's the point of the book. And you heard me ranting and raving in my own way. I have to go downtown Los Angeles to file my court things. And by the way, that's the way to do it. You do it in person because you can always create a couple of friends. It may be a long drive, or it may be this, or it may be that. But you go down and you file your papers, and you just, you know, bring the clerks all your best heart. And they're there for you because somebody will be, because they don't like what's going on either, and those are their jobs. However, in Milwaukee, it seems that this one family of three people had $2 a day to eat off of by the time they paid their rent.
Can you imagine the quality of that food?
I didn't ask, Randy.
Yeah.
What do you get for $2 a day?
Not much.
I
don't think you can buy a goldfish for that, can you? I mean, if someone's...
Randy, I hadn't even thought of that. Oh, my God.
Seriously.
Today you could buy 20 feeder fish. What do you suggest?
Exactly. I mean, a gumball, a couple gumballs. I mean, seriously, that is not much money. I can't even walk down the street for that price. Like, it costs that much to get down. You know, there's just so many things in life. If you want to function and get to that next level of just even peace and tranquility, you've got 70% towards just your home alone. People are upside down, and things definitely need to change. By the way, Matthew Desmond is the author, and it's called Evicted, Poverty and Profit in the American, I think dream was the last word on it, American City. And this guy has had almost 1,000 reviews, and he has, I think it's like 4.7 to 5.0, which is the best you can get on these reviews. So this is a highly...
highly acclaimed
book. I mean, and every review is the same. So well written. I can't believe this. I had no idea. What an eye opener. So definitely, we need to get him on. We need to interview this guy.
Oh, that's what exactly. Remember when I said I was looking for a guest yesterday? That was the guy. I heard this in the morning. It's really interesting how this stuff happens in my life, and I'm going to share it because I think you may not give it significance when it happens in yours. When you totally make up your mind that you're going to get something done and that you want to get it done, the universe actually works with you.
I agree.
I've been a number of times how I can still be here, 78 years old, has somewhat of not as much trouble as I used to have getting around, Randy. The Thrive HGH works for me, and I'm inviting you guys to go to the website and check out Thrive HGH. What you want to do is go to happily200.hghbreakthrough.com and then BRAGG.com and happily200.com and theconingcompany.com, Sir Jason Winter T, DrBowery.com and The Body Can, and Jason on Hair. And what you want to take a look at is these are all listed on the web page of our webpage. So everything I've mentioned is there for you to follow through on. The Happily 200 is, I believe, underneath the topic. Anywho, you can make a difference. I created Happily 200, actually, so we'd have time to straighten out a lot of these messes. I wasn't just going, I want to be healthy and old. I'm sure you don't want to just be healthy and old so you can be healthy and old, Randy. You want to be healthy as long as you can, because you want to be part of creating a healthy world and reforming the suffering into glory and in generosity, you know, and that's the possibility here. We just got news from our good research director that he heard that the global reset was happening, and he heard it on Fox News yesterday, okay? I'm going to tell you it's happening, too, and one of the reasons that I decided to do Evicted Day as the comment, and because I really consider eviction and the circumstances that create it probably the biggest health care, health issue and humanitarian issue on the planet. I mean, isn't that what we're concerned about in Uganda? Isn't that what we're concerned about in different countries, is that the people are starving to death? Well, I'm totally for helping out, but I'm also for putting the attention here in the United States. So, you American nationals, you know who you are. You've either got, a couple of dinar, or you've got a couple of Zimbabwe notes. I want you, everybody that's listening to this show, I beg of you to take the time right now and go and look around your city and see where it needs help. Maybe I spent one summer, Randy, walking around Santa Monica just talking to people. I had a cool apartment down on Second Street. And every day I took a $25 with me and I went out and I budgeted myself so I had $25 a day to give it away. And I talked to people and I said, how'd you get here? And some of it was drugs. Not that. Well, they kind of get into the drugs later too because it's common on the street and they're so miserable. And then from there it's a shopping basket and, there's different places in the city. Some of them go to the Y, different places like that to get showers and things of that nature. I've always had a vision of white vans going around the city saying, if you'd like to come out off the streets, we can help you. Because the funny thing is, some of them are just so sick of the society, they want nothing to do with it. Is there any of that going on in Florida, Randy?
It's a different mindset kind of down where I'm at. This area is very hustly, bustly, and people are always on the move. And we're lucky, or blessed, because we have sun all the time. So, there's fresh food here. There's the ocean is right here. So people have a little bit of a different mindset. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. I'm not saying that at all. But, happy is on the menu every day here.
So you don't have homeless in Florida?
We do.
There's a
section of them. I would say a lot of them tend, that I have seen, because I do experience them. Some of them are not very far from here. A lot of them are dealing with mental issues.
Sandy,
and I think, yes.
Right now we're doing something that them different from us. I did the same thing too. We called them them.
But
when we talk about the homeless, I mean, have you ever had to sleep in your car at night? Once, ever, even?
Yeah, but I have chosen it. I never had to. I've chosen to do it. I like to sleep in it when I travel, believe it or not. I'd rather pull over and sleep in my car for a few hours than go get
myself some time. Randy, I slept in my car because I had to.
Right. I've not had to deal with that.
Different occasions. And mind the way, at the time, the year before, I was making $30,000 a month. That's how fast it can happen. Okay, and the next thing I know, I'm sleeping in my car. I'm not even quite sure how the whole thing happened. The slide was significant, from $30,000 a month down to under $2,000 a month, and I didn't see it coming. I changed locations of my practice. But whatever it is, it's all part of our destinies here on Earth and our DNAs. And as Donald Trump, somebody asked him about wealth, and he said it's all in the DNA. And I know what he's talking about. In the DNA, I knew a man, Randy. I think I told this story a long time ago. He actually assisted the mayor of Los Angeles for absolutely years, and he actually... he actually left home when he was like 12 or 13, something like that. And he joined the Navy when he was 15 because his circumstances were terrible. But at home, before he left, he created a separate reality for himself, and he literally did that. As a child, he built himself a shed in the backyard. This man ended up being Mayor Bradley's top assistant for years. And I loved him, and he also happened to be a client of mine. So I got a chance. And what I will tell you is you could see it in Brad's eyes. You could see the determination. You could see the power of the man. When he got out of the Navy, somebody rolled him. He took all his money. He was going to buy a business suit for for, he wanted to go to USC Business School. So he's going to buy a, he was going to rent a room, buy a business suit, and apply for school. Instead, he got rolled and ended up in an alley, kind of dirty and beaten down and all by himself, and he moved into a cardboard box. And from there, he actually went and offered to sweep people's driveways and clean up their alleys and stuff like that for food. And he saved up his money, bought his business suit, by the way, while I was still living in a box. He washed at Union Station. And that's the kind of remarkable determination that it takes. Unfortunately, there aren't 100,000 of those guys, okay? But there are a number of us, and I'm his personality. Randy's his personality. If you go firewalking and you're that kind of a personality, or if you can stand up after time, even if you think you haven't spoken soon enough, and you can say, we can't treat ourselves this way. We can't let our people through this. We have a guy in the canyon, Randy, called Sparky, okay? Mm-hmm. And Sparky is ours. That's why I said them. I heard myself say it earlier, too. Them.
Mm-hmm.
They're
right.
Not, they're us's. And if we get that these people are extensions of us, it's a whole big game changer. And it's totally moved me. Sparky is dying of cancer. And I think he was under a bridge with his ragged dog, okay? When somebody took him in, got Sparky cleaned up, we got clothes for him. He's now in a halfway house there to do his, quote, final days. And yesterday we found a way to get his dog all groomed so he could have his dog with him because his dog gets a mess, I hear. So he's there now, and he's got his dog. And he's going to pass through with his dog because his community took care of him. And there's going to be a lot of money on this planet, and especially those of you with Zimbabwe currency, I beg of you to give away at least 50% of what you got, because believe me, whatever you got will take care of you and your 75 different countries for the next 50 years if you got any decent amount of this stuff. And if you don't, it's coming in from all directions. Have you heard about Gesera, Randy? What's your...
Well, only the mention of it this morning, so I don't know enough about it.
Why don't you pull it up on your computer right now? Gesera. And let's give them a current update on Gesera. I don't have the exact link for it here. I couldn't find it. GESARA.
The Global Economic Security and Reformation Act?
Now, okay. The NESARA is actually the national one for the U.S., but there, okay. One of the things that there's I don't hear the same information on is whether or not it's... If Gesser, which is a global one, comes out, will it replace Nesser? I don't know. But do you have the characteristics of what Gesser does? Did you find those?
Let's see. It's a program backed by precious metals.
Yep, that's the
deliverable
one.
Deliverable well above quattro decillion of U.S. dollars. 40 zeros is after that.
It's trillions with a Q.
It says all 8 billion of the human population will benefit from Gesera, or how do you say it, Gesera. That's kind of what it is.
Well, read how they're going to benefit, because it's really, it's true, it's happening. And I really want you guys to get that this thing that's been floating in the clouds for years is actually happening.
Okay, so I've not ever heard of this before, so I'm going to read this straight from their page. It says...
I'm going to read it just from their page, and then I'll...
The Earth will finally be free to experience itself as the abundant planet it was created to be. Few realize that there is more than enough gold to make all human currencies in circulation. This means that any and every human being could become a multimillionaire instantly without debt of any kind if only given the resources. Gesera is about sharing the gold resources saved from humanity to humanity with humanity for humanity around the planet in a fair way. Well, here's the thing. If everybody has the equal amount of gold, then what is buying and selling and trading and how does that work?
Well, they don't have equal... People won't have equal amounts. It's actually... Does it mention the monthly stipend and stuff like that in the article you're reading?
This says a new 14% single tax or single rate tax on new core items will provide the sustainable revenue stream for all national governments after Gisara. There will be greater benefits for the elderly and children after Gisara.
I believe I have a brilliant idea, okay? And I'm sure others have thought of it, but it came to me. I think you could fund the entire company, the country, the military, the arts, and everything if you tax two things. A penny for every telephone call and a penny for every stock market exchange. I think that'd take care of it.
Okay.
Yeah. Running well, and we didn't have income tax. And if the income tax was even going anywhere, it might matter, but it's not. It's interest on the national trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars, which is why they did it, so they could get the interest and just the clock keeps going. Roseanne and I actually laughed because Roseanne and I each have a $100 trillion note. We looked at each other and said, you know, we could be generous and just pay off the national debt with these two notes.
Why don't some of these, you know, wealthier people step forward and pay it off?
I think they already are, Randy. I think that's a lot of what's happening under the table. There's a lot of play acting that's going on right now. A lot of people, I hear, oh, by the time the mainstream media gets done with you and all this kind of stuff, they're twisting a lot of what's going on. And my understanding is that Putin and Trump are actually part of the alliance that are helping this transition occur, and that they're actually putting on shows to, you know, back and forth to keep things unstable because they want to keep the cabal unstable. I totally buy it. I especially after watching the whole thing with Kim Moon-jun is going to bomb Southern California. You know, I live in California. Did I get upset about it? Not much. I mean, I'm more concerned about how much radiation is coming over here and the neutralization of it. You can do something with it with iodine. You take your iodine, Dr. Randy will tell you. But I do, as an aside, before I forget it, Randy, remember when I left you a message saying I was having muscle cramps to help my fingers?
Yes.
Guess what I did? And guess
what
cured it?
What was it?
Pickle juice. After I couldn't get a hold of you that night, it was like my fingers were just like acting just incredible. And I went on the internet, and there was this one-minute commercial on pickle juice, okay? And I went upstairs, I drank my pickle juice, and the whole thing stopped in less than 1 minute. So that's my little tip as an aside here about not suffering through life if you don't have to. You just, you know, if your hands are cramping, drink some pickle juice.
Did they say it was because you were missing salt, or what was it?
Magnesium, you said.
Yeah, I did. But what did your 1 minute commercial or whatever you watched say?
It just said drink pickle juice, so I did.
Okay.
And boobies, of course, or boobies or whatever it is. Great, I love pickles. So was it a hard thing to get me to do? I just liked how incredibly simple it was. It didn't go into any big thing. I just said, you know, if you got muscle cramps, go drink pickle juice and it'll go away. And it did. I suppose that's a 15-second commercial, isn't it? Anyhow,
well,
to make a long story short, I dropped that in here right now because something that looked like a terrible problem, i.e. cramps in my hand, was cured in 1 minute with pickle juice. And personally, I'm just pouring some pickle juice on Syria and the conversations because I think this is all the peacocks of the planet are like ruffling their feathers right now and bumping feathers, and I think it's all a big distraction so this reset can go through. It was originally, Randy, supposed to go through and September 11th, what does that bring up for you, of 2001? Mm. That was when the reset was first supposed to happen. After that, they just kept stealing the money, and we go reset it, and then they'd steal it again. Just like CW and I had $1 million stolen from us by Homeland Security. They said
is that
it was
my
fun.
Cue?
Huh?
Did you just
you
say Homeland Security? I've been on listening with a great interest to your discussion about the whole eviction scam that, you know, we have to live with. And your saga has been quite fascinating. But you came out victorious.
Well, it's a, the thing is, every one of them is different, Paul. Everybody's situation is a little different. But what I'm going to tell you is, don't fight off the sheriff. Actually, go file appeals and things of that nature. Be a pro se. One of the things that was struck, I watched a couple of the videos, short videos on it. And one of the things that they said on the, what he said on the, Matthew said was, most of the people that are being evicted don't have the money to pay for them, for attorneys. And he brought up the same thing I brought up, Randy, about how if I was a criminal, I would have had a public defender. But there's nothing, in fact, I feel that the exact opposite is true for homeowners, that the courts are designed to not help you. I'm always told that I have to, if I'm in Santa Monica, I have to drive to downtown L.A. or something like that to file papers. And, oh, we're sorry, our pro-legal woman here doesn't handle that kind of stuff. Oh, no, you need to go pay $900 over here if you want help, or this or that or the other thing. And they don't have it.
Well, it's a tremendous sense of helplessness when you can't get an attorney and no attorney is assigned. And you're quite right. There are no public defenders for those being evicted.
It's worse than that, Paul. Randy, I have now interviewed. Remember I said I was going to find an attorney that I could actually, after Sheriff Mack was on the show and said all mortgages are illegal? Remember that?
Yeah.
Didn't your ears just perk up that a sheriff said that, man? I loved it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mack, running for Congress, gets on air and says all mortgages are illegal. Okay, that's coming from one of the sheriffs, okay? So here we've got the sheriffs, all mortgages are illegal. And they're carrying out the court, which doesn't even give you a trial. They call it a trial. But the last time I was in court to appeal this thing again, because this, I own the property, it's in my trust name and everything, and the eviction notice is still out. Actually, it's called a notice to vacate. Wow. Even if the sheriff knows it's not legal, he still has to follow the court. He's an officer of the court. He has to do the court's business, or he gets fired. That's the way it is. Now, mind you, there's...
Yeah, the sheriff is stuck. He has to do his duty, whether he likes it or not.
Exactly, and that's what my sheriff told me, okay? And what I want you to know, all of you who think that every sheriff out there is bad... That sheriff is the one that warned me that what I thought was handled was not handled, and he sent the social worker over a week early to give me notice so that I could do something. Now, that
what
happens when you're on the path, you're making friends, you're not looking for enemies, you're looking for friends, and believe me, there's more of them than you know out there. So everybody's
there path. Really is. You know what, Val? And it's everything that you're doing that's good, it's when your heart is right and when your thoughts are right, your phone won't stop ringing and your door won't stop getting knocked on with wonderful things happening.
Yeah, and that's the possibility that we're in right now. For years, we've talked about what's wrong, what we can do about it. We fought our battles, and our battles are becoming more public, and more of the slime is being revealed. I can't even imagine if $1 million was stolen from a real estate deal for us.
Can we
can't imagine at all. Now, if you've got 200 million people, how many people we are in the U.S. now, Paul? Do you know? You there, Paul?
300 and some million.
How much?
I just got dropped, and I'm back on.
Did you get dropped? Oh, well, rude. How do you know how many people are in the U.S. right now?
I can't imagine.
I'm going to say over 100 million. No, 300 million probably, huh? Randy, you're at the computer.
I'm looking right now. It's more, but remember, we've got all these undocumented in here as well, but... aren't being counted, so whatever number I do, the computer pops up for me is not the real one.
But a judge that has given them the right to sue their employers?
Okay, this says 325.7 million. This is the 2017, so, you know,
yeah,
it's more
close.
Than that.
Yeah, How many of those, I wonder how many of those would be, why don't you take that figure and say how many are below the poverty line and see what you come up with.
Below the poverty line.
Milwaukee is supposed to be the most impoverished city in America, I think.
There's more than 45 million or 14.5%.
That's probably smaller number than is actually true. Because do you qualify for the
actually,
poverty
that's
level, guys?
2014.
If working
that's
for
dated.
Jobs?
Yeah, I don't know. That was dated 2014. Let's see. 18.5 million reported deep poverty. That's kind of bad.
Uh-huh. Put in how many people were evicted from their homes in 2017. Let's just take one small year. In the U.S., evicted from their homes or their apartments. By the way, if you're in an apartment, you don't even stand a chance. The way the system
if you're
is.
In a home, the way it's set up.
Yeah, but here's the other thing, and Paul, I don't know if you know anybody. Actually, you're the probably great person to ask. I cannot find a lawyer. Now I'm in a position where I actually can get a credit line on the house, and I want to get somebody to see me through court, because when you do pro se in court, what you're always finding out is what you don't know. So you go file some paperwork, and then they send you a default because you didn't file a home. So you go find out, other thing, they say, well, you're defaulted because you didn't do this, but you got 15 days to cover the wah-wah-wah. Okay, great, what's a wah-wah-wah?
How many days?
15 days from the date of the notice to cure the default.
That's it?
Yes.
Shocking.
Okay, this is Superior Court. You can get, I like federal court better. They've got their pro se. Federal Court in L.A. just moved their pro se office to right next to the records department, my two favorite places last year. And the pro se attorneys are just great human beings, and they're there for you. They're rooting for you, okay? Not so with Superior in Santa Monica. Those people, we don't do that. Well, if you go down to the flower and the city dump, they do it over there, okay. Blah, 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 blah. There's so little that the Santa Monica court, I don't know if they're not able to do it or, you know, the laws of the pro se courts or the clinics, whatever. But definitely federal court in Los Angeles is way more fun than Superior Court. So the biggest thing they said, Randy and Paul, was the people are overwhelmed and they don't show up to defend themselves.
I've actually sat in those courts just to witness it. And I used to go with a guy who was actually fighting his. He ultimately did lose, but he put up a heck of a fight for years. And so I would go sit in court and just listen, and I would see attorneys step up to the podium there, and they would have a stack of people that they would go through. I mean, it could be 2 feet high.
Yes, I had the same thing was going on. And by the way,
it
the
was
woman
literally,
just,
yeah, it was an assembly line, and it was just okay. You get this many days. You get this many days. And sometimes people would plead their case. Can they have, 45 days? It was literally an assembly line moving out. It's just everyone losing their homes. And,
yeah, well, I did not. There was not one person that won in this particular judge's court. And my therapist once told me that when people met me, they would either love me or they would go need a glass of wine. Well, this judge doesn't love me, and he's made that clear. And there's a thing that you say when you're in court, and I believe actually it's another one of the ways that I can throw some logs under his wheels. There's a thing called Haynes versus Kerner, and when you ask the court to honor Haynes versus Kerner, that means that as a pro se, that the court is to understand you don't have the same skills as a practiced attorney, and they're supposed to help you. So, this guy, answering Haynes versus Kerner, corrected one of my submissions, and then lambasted me for not acting soon enough when I didn't know what was going on. That's part of the problem when you're pro se. You don't doubt that you've done something that's off until you get one of these default notices on something. So it's worth it, though. It's worth it for yourself. It's worth it for your integrity if it's your home. Don't bother your time trying to stop the sheriff at the door. Stop the sheriff at the courthouse. And you can do that. And my sheriff was being very kind with me. He was so kind that I actually wrote a letter of accommodation to the L.A. County Sheriff's Department, and I got a letter of acknowledgement saying that my letter would be permanently put in this officer's file and thanking me for taking the time to let him know what a good job he's done. Okay? And this was the guy that came over to my house three times and wanted me to leave. He was doing his job. Get around it. There's so many ways of getting around it. Get into clubs. Do all kinds of stuff. Send us a question. Text us a question. We'll be happy to see what we can find out on air. Paul, you got any comments on this?
I got onto the conversation right away, but I was concerned about the statistics associated with the homelessness and poverty in the United States. So I got on my computer, and I thought I would look up the number of people on food stamps as a partial measure of the poverty level. And it's beyond what I had anticipated. I thought it was in the 30s of millions. And as of 2016, there are 41,170,000 Americans on food stamps. So 14% of the population is on food stamps. But you can probably add an additional 4 or 5% to that, which indicates that probably 20% of the population is below the poverty level, which is a shocking, alarming number. There's a website called statisticbrain.com, and you can look up those statistics on that website. But I don't know.
Another thing I want you to look up, since you're doing your computer stuff, or Randy, you know, jump in here too. How many people per population do we have in our prison population? Because these are all related. All these things we're talking about, they're all related.
Well, you know, how many of the people on food stamps are also homeowners? Probably a very, very high percentage of them. And all these people are teetering on the brink of eviction.
That's what they were saying. Well, they said that the problem is that when you have such, and Randy knows, because over the years, over the 10 years keeping Waking Up in America on the radio, it turned from a program that used to make money for me into one that's actually costs me money now, part of the time. So she would hear me go, Randy, send me 25 so I can get the radio show paid, or something of that nature, you know? What'd you get? Probably 5 of those calls from me, Randy, over the years?
Yes.
And you're doing a great service to all of your listeners by bringing up these issues and potential ways to solve the issues. I don't know if you've caught the latest outrageous plans coming out of the state of California about the homeless.
They want to break us up into 3 different states. I thought that was pretty amazing.
Well, how about getting paid by the state of California to put a little house in your backyard to house the homeless?
Oh, wow.
Do you know about that program?
Oh, I hadn't heard
about that.
I'd rather have us buy some land and make
it's,
some nice...
It's made national headlines, national news. I was at a government meeting 3 days ago, and we were discussing it. The state of California has launched in L.A. County 2 pilot programs using a $100,000 grant. And the idea is to pay homeowners to put tiny houses in their backyards for the use of homeless. The state or the county will then pay the homeowners for the housing of the homeless in their backyards. But if you think about it, it's a circular scam, because the only way that they can pay for that extra expenditure is through taxes. So they tax the homeowners and pay the homeowners back a proportion of what they've been taxed to house the homeless in their backyard. I mean, this made national news. This came out roughly 4 to 5 days ago. Orange County Register, LA Times. So if you've got a big backyard, put up little houses, and the state and the county will pay you to house the homeless in your backyard.
You don't have the health department over checking the health conditions. And, you know, when you were talking about feeding people and all of that kind of stuff, and I thought, yeah, there's food stamps, and then they get to go out and buy their own GMOs. You know, it,
by the way, I'm reading a story. This is in Portland as well. So are you talking about California? And I'm reading it for Oregon. So this is kind of your coastline. I don't think it's limited to just you guys. You guys have a crazy governor. Period. The whole rest of the country thinks that. And what was the story that came out today about dividing the state of California into three other states? Is that a real story?
Yes,
that's
a real story.
It's a legitimate story. They want to break it up into Northern California, Southern California, and L.A.
Oh, boy. What's the odds that's going to keep moving forward, or that's just sensationalism? What's happening?
This is actually a serious proposal that was put out about a week and a half ago. And it's funded by a multi-billionaire who is the chairman and executive of the foundation to split California, quote-unquote. It's funded by a billionaire, so you have to ask yourself, of what benefit would it be to him to break California up into three separate states?
Make him probably governor of one of them or something.
By the way, we haven't talked about it since we have you on. What's going on with, I mean, what's your thoughts on this whole bombing of Syria? Can we move subject?
Syria?
Yes.
The important thing about Syria is that we for the first time had very solid consolidation of international support. Theresa May in the UK, Emmanuel Macron in France, and the US sat down very carefully and consolidated the attack. And the attack was what's called in military terms a surgical attack. It was not an attack to oust Assad. It was not an attack to change the regime. It was simply meant to send a very strong message that thou shalt not use chemicals and sarin on innocent people and children. So they pretty much destroyed all of Syria's chemical production infrastructure, and it was left at that, and it was done very carefully without harm to civilians.
He was very strategic in it, but I thought that there was plenty of evidence that came out that it wasn't Assad at all, that this was one of these false flag things to pull us in to war, which is why I love how he strategically handled it. But
it was done very, very carefully. It was done with great care and deliberation. The supposed 24-hour response, of course, expanded into about 52 hours until the collaboration and the strategic attack using the three countries came into being. And it was very, very well done. I'm very pleased with the result. There will be an emergency UN Security Council meeting coming up probably within the next day or so, if not later today, in the wake of the strikes on Syria. And, of course, there's going to be condemnation of Assad, formal condemnation by the United Nations, which will probably be joined by protests from Russia on the illegality of the whole activity. Iran has already denounced the three countries as, quote, criminals. So
what, you know, what do you think Russia's take is going to be on this? Because they've, you know, clearly warned us, you know,
there won't be a reaction from Russia. They're really not in a position economically or politically to react. And if they react in any way, they're going to be in very, very serious trouble. They don't want to start, you know, any kind of a conflict in the Middle East, because they need the Middle East to support their economy, in particular Iran and Syria. And in fact, we know very well that Iran is using the $150 billion that they got from the United States to purchase weapons from Russia. So, you know, they're using our money to buy weapons from Russia and then distributing those weapons in the locations in the Middle East where they want to cause discord. And that includes Yemen, Jordan, Syria. Saudi Arabia is untouchable, obviously, because they don't want their wealth affected.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. See, Randy, didn't I say I'm not worried about this?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Trump did look pretty funny when his demeanor was completely different than I've ever seen him when he made the announcement. And it was pretty upsetting because none of us ever, I mean, when Obama was in power and he was saying he wanted to bomb Syria, and all the people in this country pretty much stood up and said no. So this, you know, there was a meltdown across the media last night. Even Alex Jones, who I like to listen to a lot, he like had a complete meltdown over it. I was pretty upset after watching that. I was like, oh no, we're going to be at war. But
no.
When I saw that it was so strategic and they did everything to not have casualties of the people, because literally it is never the people. It's always the governments or somebody like Soros who's in the background paying for these false flags to happen. So,
you betcha.
Yep. So I'm so happy.
Very, very clearly, the role of George Soros in all of this, okay? George Soros wants socialism to thrive and spread in the United States. He also wants discord, social discord, and wants to spread racial discord. And he worked with the Obama administration to that end. And he funded formal professional protesters during the whole campaign.
Yes. Thank you for saying that, Paul.
Absolutely true, and the public needs to know that professional protesters were hired by the Democratic National Committee to upset the proceedings of the election process. Not the Russians, but professional protesters.
Hey, Paul, how long till we see an arrest of some of these people like Hillary, you know, and any of those cronies? Do you think it's going to be while he's in turn, or are they going to be able to shirk it and go off to their death in a peaceful way? I mean, I'd like to
see behind that. I hope and pray that the criminals are brought to justice. And, you know, the criminals start at the top, and the chief criminal is Obama. Let no one ever tell you that the FBI acted on their own in a rogue capacity. Comey was told to do what he did. Rosenstein was told to do what he did. Mueller was told to do what he did. But first and foremost, the meeting before the July the 4th announcement by Comey, the meeting between little Billy Clinton.
Okay, there we go.
There you are.
That was not an accident. It was not an accidental meeting. It was arranged. And the formal notification to Comey went out from the Attorney General to do exactly what he did, which is basically not convict Hillary. It is a travesty of justice that Hillary is walking free. That Comey is walking free. That Strzok is walking free. That Page is walking free. That Uma Abedin is walking free. That Susan Rice is walking free. But all of it goes back to where the buck stops. at the desk in the White House in the Oval Office.
What about this attorney client privilege being completely opened up?
Caused international waves, and I'm sure Putin is smiling because it is an ancient KGB tactic. It stinks of Gestapo tactics and fascism. Okay, we have suddenly lost our rights to privacy.
Yes, I cannot believe that they went in
by that one motion. We've lost our rights to privacy.
And went into his attorney's computer. You know that they had the most private conversations, and that gave them privy information to thousands of different people. I mean, you should
be able
to...
Yeah, how does that work, Paul? How can they do that?
Yes. How did they get away
with
that?
Well, it lets the cat out of the bag. Again, the poor FBI agents who did this were told to do this, but... it lets the cat out of the bag as to what the Mueller investigation is really all.
So, what do you think the Mueller investigation really is?
It has nothing to do with Russian collusion. It has to do with go get Trump, GGT, go get Trump, and that's it. That's it. That's what the whole point of the investigation. Uh oh, I just got disconnected.
No, you're still with us, but Val, if I can, we're gonna do oils obviously next week, one of the 12 bad foods, and I want to give a shout out to Ron Hayes. Thank you so much, Ron. You were pivotal in helping our group, the Body Can Group, break 10,000 on air.
All right,
I'm looking at the numbers now. 10,029 people. He has spent the last, I don't know, year inviting people and friending people that he knows need this, real legitimate people, and he's been slowly inviting them over to our group, and he just helped us break it. I think he said he invited about 45, 46 people, and that was all we needed to break it, and we are there. So, Ron, you rock.
Hey, we're there across the board. We want to really thank you for listening today. This program has been brought to you by Kirkgaard Intergalactic Media, our radio partners, PonyCompany.com, Happily200.com, HeavenIncorporated.com, Anavon Rides, Dr. James Murphy, John Denver, Dr. Joe Wallach, Sheriff Richard Mack, Tiffy Hedren, Carol Channing, Deepak Chopra, Wolf Game, Holbig, William P. Dunn, Ed Asner, Dennis Weaver, Larry Hagman, and Esther Williams, Admiral Eugene Carroll, Jane Goodall, Jonathan Granoff, Dennis Kucinich, Chris Burgard, Paul the Plumber, Terry Cole Whitaker, Sherry St. Vincent, Lonnie Hogan Miller, bless you, Lonnie, Sherry Sharifi Brown, and bless your husband, Sherry, Roger Stone, David R., descendant of King David, RandyShannon.com, Edward F. Group III, Shalene Nightingale, and DrValerie.com, and doctors all spelled out. Thank you for your daughter, Patricia Bragg, and your work, and a big thanks to our team at Voice America, Jess Spinard, our producer, Ryan Treasure, Randy Jackman, and our friends at Cumulus Radio, Mike Vitale, Mary Flynn, and Ron Simon, and our research director, Rockin' Ron Hayes. To John Young at Totally Gospel, a big thanks for all our airtime and friendship over the years, and you've given us this thank you. We so appreciate you. A big thanks to our webmaster, Joseph Chung. Merci beaucoup to Bent Mugen for our theme music, Almost Ordinary People, which is available to you as a free MP3 next week. Invite a friend to listen. And hey guys, like I said, look around your city. I really believe that within the next week or so, there'll be a lot more money circulating on this planet to take care of the issues that we pointed to today.
And you're not crazy anymore.
Thank you for joining us today for Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. Waking Up in America can be heard live every Wednesday on VoiceAmerica.com, and Valerie welcomes all emails at HeavenIncorporated.com.
This is for all in you, pouring through. Now your heart is open.